Welcome to another episode of The Brand Called You, a podcast and podcast show that brings you leadership lessons, knowledge, experience, and wisdom from thousands of successful individuals from around the world. I'm your host, Ashutosh Garg, and today I'm delighted to welcome a very accomplished coach from the UK, but speaking to us today from Malawi, Andy Lyles. Andy, welcome to the show.
Thank you very much for having me, Ashutosh.
Andy is a coach and a founder in his own firm, Andy Lyles Coaching. Andy has focused on helping young people achieve empowerment and positive well-being by coaching to build confidence in who they are and have the resilience to thrive. So Andy, before we start talking about coaching, tell me about your journey and what inspired you to become a coach to young people.
Well, before I was a coach, I was an educator. And before I was an educator, at turning 18, I went out into the United States to work at the summer camps there. And my first experience of real work, I ended up at a summer camp that had a specialism for children with ADD, ADHD, autism, and other learning challenges and behavioral challenges as well. And that really early experience has been what spurred my career up to this point, in that the children were from many environments that they found they didn't fit in. So because of the ADHD or because of the autism, they didn't feel a part of their schools or of their communities. And this summer camp was the one place where they felt accepted, that they felt recognized and felt celebrated. And I think that the experience of being there for four summers has really underpinned everything that I've done in teaching, which has always been about developing the academics and ensuring that the students thrive in the learning, but actually underpinning that is their growth as people, as individuals, as characters, and that they feel good about themselves. And if they've got that sorted out and they're in an environment that's safe, then they can go on to grow and flourish academically as well as personally, spiritually, and emotionally and physically. Yeah. And really, it's been in the last few years, I was lucky enough to go on to some training for coaching, which I did at another international school here in Malawi. And it was really, that was a real penny drop moment of the best of teaching coincides with what a lot of coaching is, which is listening to students, actively listening to them, understanding them deeply, and driving learning through questions that they are able to answer and extract the wisdom for themselves, rather than necessarily telling them what they need to learn, what they need to remember, and what they need to revise. Unfortunately, schools, certainly in the UK, but in many parts of the world, are returning to a didactic method of teaching, which much research knows is not effective, and moving further away from this coaching driven pedagogy. And as a teacher, I could very easily go into leadership or remain in leadership, but I want to continue my work as a pedagogical practitioner, and coaching fits the bill. And I believe it's a really good opportunity for young people to develop the skills, the qualities, the characteristics that will make them successful going forward on top of the knowledge that they acquire at school.
Great response. Thank you. So let's talk about coaching now, Andy. Tell me, what are some of the common misconceptions that you have encountered when it comes to coaching young people?
Many young people in mainstream schools, I'm not sure, are even aware that coaching exists. It has been emerging as a process and as a profession, as I understand it, over the last 25, 30 years or so. And many teachers are not aware of its existence either. So students are even less likely to come across it, certainly in a school setting. I think when you mention coaching in the first instance, a lot of children and a lot of people in education refer to the sports coaching of the refining of skills, etc., and it not necessarily being a process that is driven actually by the coachee or the client. But that they feel that it's the coach that drives the learning in a way that a mentor would. So you, when students and when you and when educators go through the process of coaching and fully understand what it is, you start to see it is actually what we said before about being the best parts of pedagogy, that it is actually questioning to bring out potential. And as soon as young people have got that understanding, and that is actually an opportunity for them to explore their own ideas and their own thoughts and their own opinions and come to their own conclusions, that sense of empowerment that comes from having the penny drop for yourself rather than somebody tell it you is game changing. But they have to go through that, through correcting that misconception in the first place, certainly.
Well said. And, you know, when I was reading about you and preparing for my conversation, I was fascinated to read that you help people identify and articulate their personal goals. Tell me a little more about this, and how do you help them, and what kind of help do you provide them?
It's part of the structure of coaching very generally that the coachee and the client works out what they would like to achieve and accomplish, their goals for the coaching especially. But I think their personal goals and what they want to achieve and what they want to become are conversations that young people have in themselves an awful lot of the time, because they are working out what their identity is. They're working out what they're good at, what they want. And of an opportunity for that, what is my talent? It's not how I think the first conversation that young people have with me, which is around the design of the coaching and what it is that they would like to achieve, is fascinating for them, because they have lots of penny drop moments where they say something for the first time that they often don't even realize. And it's even before you even have that first coaching conversation, the exploration session where they might discuss the values that they consider to be important, and they start to imagine for the first time what they would like to achieve. And it might be something small around time management, but then the conversation that can branch out into why time management is necessary, and that goes to something deeper. Young people have got a capacity and a willingness to be vulnerable in that. And it can, and there's certainly a responsibility that goes with that, so that they feel that the environment is safe for them to be able to do that. But it can be quite a provocative change when they've got that. And that spurs them on to really take hold of the coaching and the opportunities for that self-accountability, because they've had the chance for the first time to articulate exactly what they want to become and what they want to achieve, aligned to the vision of their own goals and their own values.
Well said. And, you also speak about the importance of resilience for young people. Tell me, how do you help them foster resilience?
It's a challenge. And I think a good starting point is that most of the young people that I work with realize that a resilience is going to be increasingly needed, because they see around themselves a world that is increasingly less certain, whether that is the changes in technology, the changes in jobs and roles, and the positives of that, as well as the potential threats that they could see. And developing resilience in the young people is them being able to identify the things that they are concerned about, and that real special part of coaching, which is developing the new perspectives, so that what can be seen as a negative can be reframed as something positive, and the opportunities can be seen as well as the threats, so that you can address the concerns, but you can also put into place a really comprehensive set of options that produces that empowerment and supports the resilience in young people, so that they say, oh, well, I've generated option A, option B, option C, option D. And having thought about these in detail, I can move forward and choose, let's say, option B, and feel pretty good about that. And more that they go through that process and the program of coaching as a whole, that becomes more and more commonplace, that resilience is built up, because the young people for themselves begin to coach themselves. And you often get that in feedback from them, that they start to go through that coaching process, that thought process, And resilience is built from that because they're proving to themselves that they have their own answers rather than having to be reliant on somebody else to provide the answers for them. It's not easy. And young people are aware of what contributes to anxiety and to resilience levels being low. And they recognize at the same time that the world of the future being so uncertain requires a level of resilience. So if they've got an opportunity to develop that quite proactively, then they're willing to take that by and large.
Fascinating. Thank you. And Andy, you also help young people navigate their transition from education to the workforce. Tell me a little more, and what kind of support do you provide to the young people?
It's that open space of them exploring what they want to achieve. And a lot of young people have external factors playing into the narrative that they feel that they need to live out, whether that is pressures from family or from schools wanting them to take particular subjects because that makes the schools look good, where there is an increasing hunger, I sense, in young people for them to be able to identify their values and to decide for themselves what they would like to use with the time that they've got on this earth that aligns with the values that they have. And whether those values align with my own is not even part of the discussion. They might want to be financially successful and financially independent, or they may want to support social justice. Whatever it is that they want, if they've had that exploration about what really makes them tick, what really matters to them, then they can start to have a discussion around what their strengths are, what their interests are, and where they can go with that. One particular example I had of a young person a few months ago that I worked with, he wasn't really sure what he wanted to do for a career, and he's been making decisions on that more recently. But he's been studying and been fascinated for a long time by history. And he actually came out with his family to visit me in Malawi and did some work on the history of Malawi and the history of education in Malawi. And, you know, following that, we had a good discussion about what he would want to do, perhaps with history. And it ultimately led to him considering a role in diplomacy, in world diplomacy, because wow. it's a cross section, or it's where those worlds of history and politics meet that he's really interested in. So that's what he's beginning to explore now. But it's lined up very much to his natural interests rather than external pressures. And I think young people having that conversation can feel empowered to be driven by their values so that they can make decisions for themselves that really resonate with them.
Well said. The other thing that fascinated me was, you know, that you involve parents in the coaching process.
Mm.
What advice do you give to parents?
There's the obvious things to state, which parents need to be involved in the process at a minimum level, an awareness that the process is taking place. So you've got that safe space from a safeguarding perspective. Parents, it depends on the situation. You can have really supportive parents who actually suggest and recommend or push the coaching to the young person. And in that situation, the first thing to always say to the young person is that they have got to want to be involved in the coaching process in the first place. Because if there's any reticence on that young person in being involved in it, they are not going to go forward with the process. So they've got to proactively buy in.
Right.
So it cannot be a case of the parent saying to the child, you've got to do this, you've got to do this coaching, because if they don't want to do it, it will not be effective.
Mm.
Another scenario where you might, the parent may well feel they know what is best for that young person, and that might not necessarily align with what their child wants. And I think advice that I would always give to parents is that coaching is a safe space for young people, for children and young adults to explore who they are, what they want to achieve. And the outcomes of coaching might not necessarily be what the parent expects.
Mm.
And that might be a step backwards from the parent's perspective. But I think that an important part of that is the negotiation, the discussion with the parents about what the coaching can produce in terms of the young person realizing themselves as people and as individuals. And that might be an investment of time, it might be an investment financially, but if the young person at the end of it has a better understanding of who they are and that they don't try to be somebody else, then that will benefit the young person in the long road. So the parents being comfortable with having that space created that they are not in control of, that if you've got a good relationship with the coach and the parents, that takes care of a lot of those problems. But the dialogue needs to be ongoing so that the parent feels that they're part of the conversation. That's important.
Very interesting. Thank you. And what are the steps you take to support mental health of young people? Because I understand mental health is now becoming quite a challenge for a lot of young people because of the incredible pressures that they're facing.
Completely. I think it's really important to say certainly that the coaching I do doesn't necessarily seek to be a solution for dire examples of mental health, and other sources of support should be sought, including medical support.
Yeah.
But coaching can be a proactive choice in maintaining and strengthening mental health.
Mm.
And coming from the world of education and holistic education that I am very much a part of, for me, it goes right back to the creation of a good, safe environment where the child and the young person feels listened to and understood.
Right.
You create that, whether that's in a classroom or in a coaching environment, then as long as the questions are supportive, as long as the tone is supportive and the young person feels empowered, and that no answer is then met with a judgment, positive or negative, actually. I think that's a really important part of coaching, is that you don't then attach your own appraisal to what the young person says, that because that can influence the process of coaching. Then you've got a space in which the mental health of that young person can grow, because they have got a space that they feel in control of, and that sense of agency, that sense that they have got the agenda and that it's their agenda that matters.
Mm.
It really matters to them. And I think, like you alluded to in the question, that there are many things that are diminishing young people's mental health. Social media can contribute to that. The school environment, which is very passive, or the pressures that come with that, can also erode at the mental health as well. So coaching being this opportunity for them to open up and to release whatever they feel comfortable in releasing, and nothing more, nothing less, is a big contribution to mental health being strengthened. But that relationship, the environment creation and the relationship fostering, and that being a really important part of the coaching dynamic, a coach cannot do that, I think, if they maintain a transactional coaching level. You need to show involvement and investment in the coachee for them to give you back what is possible in a coaching conversation. But the mental health and maintaining of that mental health is paramount to a good coaching experience.
Well said. And, you know, Andy, just a few minutes ago, you did speak about social media, and that is one of my questions as well. You know, the young are actually attempting to gain their salience through social media. You know, how many likes and whatever else. How do you address the issue of social media and its impact on the self-esteem of young people?
I had a discussion with a few colleagues about this just yesterday. And I think one of the saddest things about social media at the moment is is that it's, by definition, set to go against anybody who consumes it. You've got to work really hard to curate the feed that you get so that it can become a really positive and empowering tool. My wife says this, that because the assumption from many adults is that social media is a threat. It doesn't need to be. I think social media at its best, when it's really well curated, is 1,000 times better than the mainstream media that we grew up on, because we had no other choice, and we were limited by the quality that was produced, and we couldn't control that. I think, I think as a learning tool, and I think as a peer-to-peer tool, if you've got good information, good sources coming into it, it can really nourish you academically, personally, emotionally, spiritually, better than many mainstream media can. But it is that cultivation of a good feed that is nourishment, that it is not, that it's consumption for growth rather than consumption of junk food, which unfortunately is the default. And I think young people are those that are empowered with that understanding that social media is something that you can control, and many are really rocket ahead with it and can do so much more with social media than I could possibly imagine. But it is a two-way thing. And I think whereas our generations had mainstream media and we perhaps went in this direction, those who are empowered to make the most of social media, the young people will fly. Those who aren't will fall. And it's that spreading apart of young people that I fear for. It's those that are not empowered with the critical thinking to discern what is truth and what is not truth, what is good for me, what is not good for me. Those who do not have that control, I fear for. But those who do have that critical thinking skills can really make the most of social media and be empowered by it.
Great response. Thank you. And you have time for two more questions. My next question is that, what advice would you give to young people who are feeling lost or uncertain about the future?
One thing that I think every young person needs is somebody who is able to actually listen. I think the young person needs to seek that person out, somebody who can listen and somebody who will listen to them as rather than listening to respond. I think all across the world there is this phenomenon that the ability to listen is diminishing in adults.
Correct.
And all too often adults or peers want to just speak at young people. And the quality of listening, high quality listening, is becoming a premium. So young people, in terms of that sense of feeling lost and not feeling sure, a starting point is an ability to release and to be listened to and to be understood. And of course, I would say that with a coach's head on, but it does not need to be a coach who can do this. It can be a member of the family. It can be a really good friend. It could be a teacher. But if a young person is looking for answers, my argument would be that they've got a lot of the answers from what they have been exposed to. But if they've got questions that can unlock the answers in themselves, and they've got somebody who can listen to them so that they listen to them as they give their answers, so that they can ask a next great question, that is one of the best resources that they can have, so that they start to find answers for themselves. Because ultimately, in feeling lost, I believe you've got to find your own way forward with your own path, because that's not going to be given to you by anybody else giving advice, in my opinion.
Well said, well said. And my last question to you, Andy, and this is for the many, many people who will listen to our conversation. Can you share with us a success story of a young individual, and I don't want any names, who actually found his or her path through your coaching?
I think the thing with coaches is that it's always part of a bigger solution. So I would always say that coaching is never a silver bullet, but it's part of a bigger conversation. I'll probably go back to the example that I mentioned earlier of the young man who is going into diplomacy. His starting point was one of a lot of lacking in confidence and a lot of anxieties. And I would be lying to say that all of those things were overcome, but he had quite a long coaching process where he was able to build up strategies for himself that he developed himself to overcome the anxieties and to reframe his situations. And again, the more that the process went on, the more that he would do more and more of the talking, and he would start to talk himself through the process of finding the options and finding the way forward. So that by the time we came to the end of the coaching process, his anxieties were reduced significantly, but he would be able to look more objectively at the situation that he would present and coach himself through that. So that sense of agency, that sense of control, he was giving himself. It got to that point. I heard the quote of, you know, when the student is ready, the teacher appears. When the student is truly ready, the teacher disappears. Oh, really? And really, by the last session, I was not really needed anymore. And that's the point of coaching, is that you coach yourself out of employment because the young person doesn't need you anymore. And I was particularly proud of that young man, because he's going to go into a world where he feels an awful lot more assured of himself, with far less anxieties. It's something that he'll continue on with, but I am proud of what he has achieved, certainly.
Amazing, amazing. Thank you for this incredible story of this young man, and I'm sure he will be listening to this conversation, and I wish him a lot of luck. But on that note, Andy, thank you so much for speaking to me about your own journey. Thank you for speaking to me about so many different aspects of coaching young people. I think you're the first person I'm speaking to who's a coach to young people. And clearly, I think the kind of inputs you're giving them are going to be putting them on the path to a huge amount of success, confidence, and personal security. Thank you also for speaking to me a little bit about social media and its impact. All the very best to you, and thank you again.
Thank you for listening to The Brand Called You videocast and podcast, a platform that brings you knowledge, experience, and wisdom of hundreds of successful individuals from around the world. Do visit our website, www.tbcy.in, to watch and listen to the stories of many more individuals. You can also follow us on YouTube, Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter. Just search for The Brand Called You.